Hello and welcome to the mini episode of the Rufus Project Podcast, your fortnightly guide to whatever geek and pop culture type stuff is grabbing our attention at the time. I'm your host, Trevor Holland, and you will soon be hearing from my good friend, co-host, and king of cult cinema in Brisbane, Christian Fletcher. But what do we have in store for you in this mini episode? Well, I've succumbed. I admit it. I am playing Pokemon Go, and I shall share my thoughts with you on that shortly. Of course, we will also have more information about our upcoming Redeeming Features cast, and Christian will give you a rundown of all his upcoming events. Quite a jam-packed list. Look forward to that. In the meantime, though, sit back, relax, and enjoy the podcast. When it comes to geek slash pop culture things for me to talk about this week, let's face it, there's only one thing I really can talk about this week, and that would be Pokemon Go. Launched with very little fanfare, it has quickly climbed to take over the world, or at least the parts of the world that are lucky enough to already have it. Now, when I thought about doing this shortly after the launch of the game, I was really probably going to make fun of it and make fun of the people playing it. But if I did that now, I would then have to make fun of myself. Yep, I am hooked too. And there's some pretty good reasons why. I do have to say straight up that I'm not really the biggest Pokemon fan. You know, I enjoyed the cartoon in the past, and some of the Pokemon are kind of cute, but I never was one to really go, "Oh my god, Pokemon!" But the actual mechanics of the game are kind of fun and simple and a good just to do when you've got a few spare minutes or if you want to go for a serious walk. The game itself has a few different levels that it works on. First up, you walk around and try to find wild Pokemon. Once detected, your phone will buzz and you can use the camera in your phone by default to look around, find the Pokemon sitting in the real world, and then flick Pokeballs at it with your finger until you catch it. It has a certain zen-like quality, to be honest. You can turn the AR off to make catching the Pokemon a bit easier, but then you miss out on the feature of being able to take photos of Pokemon, such as, say, a Magikarp flopping on the food prep counter at your local Subway. Yes, I took that photo. It's magic. Then you've got the transferring, training, and evolving of Pokemon. Each time you catch a Pokemon, you get so much Stardust and Candy for that particular Pokemon. So to make the Pokemon more powerful, you need Stardust and Candy. To evolve them to the next level, you just need Candy. Of course, while you're leveling these Pokemon, you're also leveling up your character. And once you get to level 5, you can choose between a red, blue, and yellow team, and you can then fight for Poke Gyms. Now, these are all real-world locations that have been designated Pokemon Gyms by the company Niantic that makes the game. I'll get a bit more on that later. So the idea is to either battle to strengthen the gym by having your Pokemon fight other Pokemon in a gym your team already owns, or try to knock the other Pokemons out of the opposing team's gym. I've still got to work on that. I'm not very good at it yet because, frankly, this hasn't been a highlight of my time with the game. And to wrap up the main things about the current features of the game, you also get eggs. These eggs can be put in incubators to hatch, you guessed it, more Pokemon. The trick with hatching eggs is, though, you need to actually travel a certain distance for them to hatch. So you've got eggs that take 2 kilometers to hatch, 5 kilometers, or 10 kilometers. And you do this by walking in the real world. It has a system so that if you travel too fast, it works out you're traveling by some sort of transport, and it doesn't count. So it does encourage people to get out and about and walk around. So not only are you walking around trying to find your Pokestops, trying to find your gyms, and trying to find more wild Pokemon in different areas, you're also focusing on trying to get these eggs hatched. My highlight with the game is the amazing social aspect of this. And I'm used to working in the CBD of a major Australian city. 2 weeks ago, you could have gone out at lunchtime and all you would see would be little groups of people huddled together and just basically a whole lot of grumpy leave me the hell alone faces. Now, you head out at lunchtime, find a Pokestop where someone's dropped a lure which attracts Pokemon that all can access for up to half an hour, and you've got all these people smiling and talking and just meeting complete strangers being united by this game. It is incredible. And the stories that are coming out, from Pokemon pub crawls to a small gathering for a Poke Walk, as it's being called, in Sydney, transferring to a thing where 4,000 people turned up to join in. I mean, this is just a mobile phone game that is making mainstream media news. It was on the front page of the BBC website at one point, for goodness sakes. I've even seen people who aren't playing the game come out and say how much they're enjoying seeing all these silly pictures of Pokemon, and just all these really excited people on Facebook talking about positive things together. Now, it's not without its critics. Of course, there's plenty of people there that just don't get it. But you know what? You're not going to get it if you don't try it, so I've got no sympathy for you guys. Another group that's been quite vocal about it are the players of a game called Ingress by the same company. In fact, the location data used to track all the locations in Pokemon Go is the same data used for Ingress. Now, a lot of them will say, oh, Pokemon Go is like a fifth of the features of Ingress. It's a dumbed-down version of Ingress. I guess, in a way, that is true, but it's also a much more accessible GPS-based exploration game, which has cute, colourful creatures put over the top of it. I mean, that sounds like a pretty winning combination to me. And look, Ingress players, think of it this way. The novelty is going to wear off with a lot of people who are going to be after a more involved gaming experience. So in one way, you can probably consider Pokemon Go as a gateway drug to Ingress. Okay? Just don't bag out people playing it. That's not cool. Now, I could easily relate all the stories that have been coming out over the past week around Pokemon Go, but I'm sure most of you have been seeing the headlines, and if you want to see some of the stories making the news, it's not that hard to do a quick Google search. Because seriously, if I went through them all, this segment would be longer than one of our normal mini-podcasts, and I don't really want to do that to you. The downside is there have been server issues. As people come online, it really seems to go very poorly when Niantic tries to bring in a new area within the world, and so they've actually slowed down the rollout to other regions in the hope that they can make things more stable, and there are updates coming promising trading and perhaps battling between individuals, which currently is not available in the game. Hey, look, if you haven't tried out Pokemon Go, give it a try. It may seem a little strange at first, but let yourself go with it and really get a feel for it. Even if you don't play it for that long, you are going to have a good time playing it, and you're going to have some fun with people you probably don't even know. And that's not a bad thing. Finally, though, go Team Mystic! Woo, blue forever!
We've got B-Movies Live on Thursday the 21st of July. If you missed Frankenstein meets the Space Monster at Padre Bar, it is back for one night only. And a little birdie has told me there's only about 10 tickets left. See a team of actors bring the cult 60s B-grade movie to life with props, sound effects and original music. For full details, you can book for that on my website. Coming up on the 29th of July, we have a Michael Jackson video party. How about some of the King of Pop's most iconic music videos on the big screen from 8:30? This is at New Globe Theatre, running through until midnight. Tickets are $12, and hey, you can bring a friend for free. So hey, it only works out about $6 each. Grab a drink, kick back, or get ready to dance with some of the MJ's biggest hits. We're celebrating the 40th anniversary of the iconic ABBA song Dancing Queen with, of course, an ABBA night on Tuesday the 9th of August. This kicks off at 7 p.m. with rare footage, music videos and everything you need to keep yourself ABBA obsessed. everything from Mamma Mia to Gimme 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 to Fernando to Money 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 and many more. Now that's at New Globe Theatre and tickets are $10 per person for that. Prison Movie Nights return to Boggo Road Jail, and we've got a very eclectic program this time around. We've got movies such as Jailhouse Rock, Chicago, Walk the Line and Shawshank Redemption. The program kicks off on Friday the 12th of August with Jailhouse Rock, and tickets are available through boggoroadjail.com. You can also buy the option of seeing the tour and the movie, or just attending the movie on its own. So full details are available online for that. Looking ahead for August, Australia's biggest and longest running Madonna party returns on Saturday the 20th of August. This is upstairs at the Wickham Hotel. The entire upstairs of the venue will be taken over and turned into an ultimate Madonna nightclub, playing the music of the 80s, 90s, noughties and now. Tickets are available online. I'd recommend you pre-book as it works out as more expensive at the door. And that's on Saturday the 20th of August from 7 p.m. You can book for this and many more of my upcoming events and find information at www.christianfletcher.com or have a look at Christian Fletcher Events on Facebook for all of your social media updates. I look forward to seeing you real soon.
Thank you so much for listening to The Rufus Project. We hope you enjoyed listening to it as much as we enjoyed putting it together, and we would love to hear from you. You can head to our homepage, rufusproject.com, and leave comments below this very episode. You can also find The Rufus Project on Twitter and Facebook, or leave comments there. If you want to be a bit more private, you can even send us an email to our brand new shiny address, podcast@rufusproject.com. Now, those currently using the iTunes feed via iTunes or their favourite podcast app, there is a change coming. You can subscribe to the new feed now by heading to rufusproject.com, finding that subscribe button and getting the new RSS feed from there. It will also be on iTunes in the not too distant future to make the changeover easier. I will, of course, keep both feeds going for the time being, but to be warned, you will need to change the feed. I try to avoid it. It can't be helped. I do apologize. And if you haven't subscribed yet, you probably should, because next week we will have our next redeeming features cast. Hopefully an improvement over the last one. This time Christian has picked the 1979 movie musical Hair. Here's a little taste of what we subjected ourselves to.
Sunshine In. Hair, the film.
Yeah, all the trailers are pretty much just solid music voice with cheesy announcer guy at the end, so I don't know if that's indicative of the quality of the movie itself, but that's something that we're just going to have to find out together. Hooray, I think. Now, the moral of this mini-episode of the podcast is, there's not many circumstances where a picture of a Magikarp isn't funny. See you next time.